Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place of everything related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring another special guest. His name is Seth Stevens, and he's one of the co-founders of Post Purchase Pro, one of, if not the top, company in the space when it comes to actually understanding how you can leverage your consumer after that initial purchase. I think we as Amazon sellers focus so much on that single transaction, but then after that, we don't really leverage, you know, all that information that we get in terms of how we re-engage with them, how we make them part of our community, how we actually can get lifetime value out of a client, which I think is the future when it comes to selling on Amazon. So it's a pleasure to have Seth on the show, because we're going to be talking about three things you can do as an Amazon seller to make over $1 million in less than 2 years. Per month. So that's really something I'm very excited to learn. And Seth, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the show. How are you doing, my friend?
Oh, man, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for the invite. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I think as soon as people heard the $1 million, now everybody's with the notepads taking notes and everything. So I'm sure you're going to drop some gold content as usual. So before we go into that, though, I would like to for you to share a little bit about your story, because you also have such an amazing story in terms of, you know, as a seller, you have multiple exits. So tell me a little bit about that. Yeah.
So maybe I can give you kind of the rundown of a lot of the stuff that we've accomplished, and then we can jump right into the useful things. So long story short, over the years, starting from 2014 all the way through current, we built 53 brands on Amazon. We hit our first $1 million month in the second year, like about 18 months in. We sold several businesses. You know, it's made me have a lifestyle that I never would have dreamed of. I've worked with amazing people. We took nearly 1,000 people to China to show them how to source. We've built a coaching company to help sellers along the way. Now we have Post Purchase Pro, which helps with a lot of different things. But long story short, Vincenzo, there are three kind of big things that we figured out all the way back from 2014 till now that really, really matter when it comes to growing a business on Amazon. And a lot of sellers are missing out on them. So the three big pillars that we figured out are, number one, a lot of sellers, and if you've seen this before, let me know, have a tough time picking a product. They either spend way too much time on it, or they obsess over it, so they never even launch, or they launch and then it's amazingly successful, but they feel like imposter syndrome because they don't think that they can do it again. Have you ever seen these people?
Happens a lot. They're so afraid.
So what we figured out is it doesn't really matter. And you can look at all the software that you want, but at the end of the day, what matters is, will this product sell for me on Amazon easily? So we kind of flipped the script, and instead of looking at a business on Amazon like everyone else, like, let's design the perfect product and do tons of market research and do the perfect launch and then cross our fingers and hopefully that it works. All the while, we spent all of our money on thousands of units of inventory, right? We said, okay, well, what if there's a better way to do this? And so we started small quantity testing to prove concept. And that's kind of concept number one, is we launch with 20 units instead of 2,000. And when we launch with 20 units, that allows us to test multiple products at the same time. So for instance, Vincenzo, we might buy 5 different products, all in plain white packaging, so we can build 5 different listings. We only have 20 units of each, and we just put them on Amazon. And we don't do a launch. We don't do anything. All we do is turn on some, you know, maybe like a $10 a day budget for PPC. So then what happens is there these different marketplaces, the different customers in the different marketplaces start seeing our ads, and a lot of times it will not work. But Maybe one out of five will work. So one product out of our five starts picking up sales. We say, okay, great. The other four are not going to work for us. Let's just let them sell out. And now we have our winner, right? We have one product to build the base of our business on because it sold the easiest. That's the product that's going to be the most profitable long-term. It's going to be the easiest to rank. So instead of putting all of your effort and eggs into one basket and then crossing your fingers and hoping for success, we test and make sure that it's going to work. So now we have our winner. So are you with me so far? Because this is where it gets really
fun. No, I know. It's like, this is something that you're going so perfect on the topic in terms of, you know, Amazon sellers, when they try to launch their first product, they usually want to only do it with one product. And they think that's either this is a home run or I go home, right? That is the only shot, is the only silver bullet. And I think that's a huge mistake because you know this. I mean, you've been in the space for so many years now. I feel Amazon is a numbers game. You could do all the research that you want. You can have the perfect strategy. You can do everything perfect from A to Z, but sometimes you put a product on the marketplace and it doesn't perform, right? It just a statistics of how Amazon works as a platform. So I think the more opportunities you give yourself to actually, you know, find that that winning product, the highest the success to actually become a successful seller. And that approach you're basically outlining right there provide you that opportunity, right? And putting so much money in one single product, if it flops, that's it. You're actually having all these multiple basically options that can work out. So it's great.
And so let me give you like an example from our business. So like in 2015, we launched 350 unique products. Wow. Now only like 80 of them were successful. Okay. That's a lot of products to test, right? But you would have thrown a dart and hit one of those 350, most likely you would not have been successful. But since we only kept the winners, we were able to build many, many successful brands. So, all right. So now we have our winning product. We went about it a little different, right? Instead of buying 2,000 units, we bought 20. Now we have one product out of five that's winning. What do most sellers do? They go back trying to find another winning product to add to their portfolio of products. And it's the exact wrong thing to do. Because finding a winning product on Amazon is such a challenge that when we actually find the product, we need to scale it. And we scale it with this process we call creative cloning. So we have our winner. It's selling relatively easily compared to all those other tests that we did. What we should do is we should actually clone our listing. Now, a lot of sellers will say, well, that's too simple or that's against TOS. You can't clone a listing. So let's talk about this. So if you go to CVS or any drugstore and you look at Tylenol, the pain reliever, you'll see they have Tylenol for headache, Tylenol for migraine, Tylenol for backache, Tylenol for regular strength, Tylenol extra strength. And if you flip the bottle around, Vincenzo,
it's the same stuff.
Is the same. It's the exact, it's even the same milligrams.
The same quantity. Same quantity. It's the
same quantity. Yeah. So all they're doing is appealing to different segments of the market that are walking through the aisle looking for some type of relief, right? So what we do is we say, and this is actually from our business. We had this pillow product. It was selling about $30,000 per month. So it was a good test. I mean, $30,000 per month is okay.
It's good.
But we kept pushing and pushing. We're like, why can't we get this thing to rank for pillow and bed pillow? These big keywords. And it was just too competitive. And we finally figured out this creative cloning piece. And we cloned our listing. And now we didn't have just one bamboo pillow listing. We had two. And the second listing, Vincenzo, this is crazy, created another $30,000 in revenue. So now we're at 60,000. We didn't stop there though. Yeah. We did a third listing. Now we're at 90,000. We did a fourth listing. Now we're at 120. We did it 10 times. We ended up with a $300,000 per month business. Most sellers would have stopped at 30,000. Okay.
Yeah.
We had like, 300,000.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. I think so some of the things I want to highlight here in terms of the example you're saying, because it happened to me a lot. Like sometimes, let's say you're shopping pillows, as you mentioned, and let's say you want pillows specifically for your bedroom, right? But the pillow can be used for your bedroom. It's just that the actual images and copy is not being tailoring bedroom. I might go with the listing that's all about the bedroom and the pictures with the bedroom and everything. But in essence, the same product. And with pillows, like you have bedroom, you have living room, you have outdoor, you have so many ramifications, and it's the same product. So in terms of logistics, it's not going to change anything.
Let me make it really simple for everybody. So it is 100% within TOS to be able to clone your listing if you assign the new product a different UPC. And the reason why is because you own the brand. So if you look at Nike and you look at all their shoes, they have shoes that are very, very similar. You could even say that they're the same product, but they call them something different. This one's the Nike Air Force. This one's the Nike Air Force Max or whatever, right? Amazon is not opening up the boxes to Nike shoes and saying, hey, this product looks like it's the same as this other shoe that they sell. That's not what's going to happen. What happens is the person in the warehouse sees that it's a different UPC, and then they check the inventory into those different listings. It's completely within TOS because you are the brand owner. What you cannot do is clone the listing by using all of the same words, all of the same images, right? So you have to actually make it look different, even though our pillow was exactly the same. So Vincenzo, what we did was we used the exact same inventory, the same packaging, the same branding. We just barcoded over the existing barcode. And then we sent the inventory into a new listing, which had a different image, different images. It had different
copy,
titles, right? Different copy, different bullets, all that. And then we said, instead of just bamboo pillow, we said bamboo pillow 4. And if you go to Amazon for your product right now and you type in whatever your product is, like pizza cutter 4, bamboo pillow 4, yoga mat 4, you'll see all these different ideas that Amazon gives you automatic. And we had bamboo pillow 4 side sleeper, bamboo pillow 4 back sleeper, right? And so we started building our titles and all of our images around that. So in one of the listings, we might have somebody sleeping on their back. In another title or a listing, we had somebody sleeping on their side. But remember, Vincenzo, the inventory that we're actually selling is exactly the same. So you get more leverage at the supplier level because your orders are bigger and bigger, and all you have to do is put a new sticker on it. And so then you can just start cloning yourselves with new creative on your listings. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense. I actually have a question for you now because I'm trying to connect this second strategy with the first one. Does it mean when you guys were doing this protesting phase, where you're looking as one of the criteria, the potential that that product had for cloning? Is that a thing, actually? Because I guess if you actually focus on products that have more cloning opportunities in terms of keywords, that's a product that has highest chance of success.
No, actually. Yeah. So we figured out that second piece later. So the there's two types of cloning we can do. We can do a straight clone, which is what we started with, which was, okay, let's literally take the exact same strategy we're doing with the bamboo pillow, and we'll just clone it. Even though we're going to use different pictures, and we're going to use different and a different title, all the keywords are exactly the same. We just wanted to replicate our success. So what happened was, Vincenzo, we were ranking really well for the keyword bamboo pillow, and we just stacked in a bunch of listings for that same exact keyword. So as the customer's scrolling through, they don't really realize that they have a bunch of different opportunities to buy from us because all of our listings look different, even though it's ranked for the same keyword. Then what we figured out was once we saturated that keyword, we said, okay, well, from here, how can we continue to grow? And we started looking long tail. We said, okay, bamboo pillow for neck sleeper or neck pain, right? So start with the easiest one, which is whatever's working now. So if you have a product like yoga mat, if you ranked for yoga mat for beginners, just clone a listing straight into yoga mat for beginners and have a second listing. And that listing will, if data holds true, like it does for us, it should produce about the same number of sales as your first listing. Don't stop there though. Continue to work the process until your sales no longer increase with another clone. Does that help?
Yeah, makes sense. Total sense. And actually, another thing that I'm sure people is going to ask themselves this question when it comes to the protesting part of it, because, you know, you hear this all the time in the Amazon space, like, what is the right KPIs I should be aiming for? What is the right price point and so on? Do you have some high level metrics that you think are always a must, regardless of the quantity of products you have to test that you'd like to share as well?
Yeah, sure. So people are going to come at this with different budgets and they're going to come at it with different strategies, right? So the big thing is you want to keep the strategy and the budget nearly the same across tests. So for instance, if you pick out 5 products, don't dig into them too deep. Don't paralyze yourself by studying the details too much. Just pick out 5 products that you think will work well. And the reason why I say that is because the products that we researched the most always did the worst. And the products that we thought were going to
stay having to make.
It's the opposite, right? So the products that we were a little bit ashamed to even launch did the best. And so Okay, so let's imagine that we pick five products. We have 20 units each. We're going to launch them all at the same time. We're going to use a $10 budget. We're going to use a $1 bid. And then you launch them all. And then four of them don't even produce a sale. But one of them sells out within the first 2 days. That's a pretty good indicator, right? So you're going to be comparing the markets. And I'll give you one example from a seller I was helping. He said, okay, I'm kind of stuck because I did launch a hero product. It went amazingly well. But ever since then, I haven't got another hero product to go. And I said, well, how many products do you launch? And he said, well, I launch about two per year. Well, that's going to take forever to find you a winning product, right? So he said, okay, fine. I'll pick out 10 products. He picked out 10 and he went through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and none of them sold very well. But the 10th one sold out immediately. Within a few weeks of actually launching that product, he was selling 300 units a day.
Wow.
And if he would have stopped at test number 9, he never would have had that winning product. And I just spoke with him last week and he said that business from about 2 years ago is still growing and it's still one of their biggest lines and that product is still doing amazing. So you have to keep testing and you just want to see relative to the other test, which one sells the easiest. So here's a great analogy that I heard is when you launch the right product at the right time, it should feel like when you snip a helium balloon, snip the string to it, like, you know how it just rises up very effortlessly.
Yeah.
That's how the product should feel if you get it right.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I think just to build on the analogy, I think people feel sometimes that the issue is not the problem. And they get fixated that, oh no, it's my PPC. It's because I don't have the silver bullet. I haven't discovered that secret in the back end to make it work. It's like, guys, if the product in essence organically doesn't perform, that means there's a fundamental issue with the offers in the first place. So that's so important, the analogy you do with the balloon. Now,
one second there, Vincenzo, before we move on, that's a really good point. And so think about this. When we launched Bamboo Pillow, the opportunity was in the keyword bamboo pillow. If I would have launched it and tried to rank for bed pillow, it would have felt like really hard, right? So the opportunity is actually most of the time in the keyword. So if you have a product that you're really struggling with and you can't get it to go, well, look at your market and say, okay, is there a sub market here that I could tailor my listing to and be the best product for this particular market? Like, we were not the best bed pillow, but we were the best bamboo bed pillow.
Exactly.
Hopefully that helps.
Yeah, and something I do a lot is sometimes the answer is on the reviews. It's in the questions because people usually say, oh, but this pillow works for X, something that you never thought of. Or does this glass work for this? And then they ask you, there is a niche that you're not actually defining on your listing. And that's why they're concerned about if it's compatible or not. And those are some of the sparks you can find to find those hidden communities that they want something specific for that functionality, which can be the same product. It's just that you have to make it clear on the images and the copy, and that's it, right?
Yeah. And cool. Don't just add the keyword into your listing, actually build the whole listing around it. Like, imagine this. Imagine that you're selling a dog collar for a large dog, but you discover that there's a little niche that's for a dog collar for German Shepherds. Well, actually put a German Shepherd in the image, put German Shepherd in the title, be the only listing on the page that caters directly to that one customer, and you'll outconvert everyone.
Yeah, 100%. Now, another question in terms of when you do cloning. So I guess from the perspective of cloning, when you start doing that with your products, do you also see it from the perspective of branding? Because what I'm trying to understand is, like, let's say you come up with multiple products and then each of these products start having their own cloning. How you make sure that also to some extent fit into the brand that you're trying to create as an umbrella? Like, is that also part of the strategy, or you focus more on the revenue and growing the numbers, basically, more than the branding perspective?
So we actually sold that pillow company, and the most important thing was the revenue and the diversification of revenue through different listings. They didn't really care so much that the product was the same. We actually added in other products later on. We added in a wedge pillow, we had added in a maternity pillow, and guess what, we had clones of those too, but the branding for each portion of the portfolio was the same. So, like, all the packaging for the bed pillows was the same. All the packaging for the wedge pillows was the same. We just sold them through different aisles, right? Like, if we were stocking the shelves at Walmart, we would just sell them on a different aisle. This wedge pillow is for acid reflux. This one's for, you know, you name it.
It's placement, having real estate, more real estate in the space. That's it. Yeah.
100%. If you think about like walking through the store, what if you could have every product on the aisle? Like, yeah, you're going to make sales. And that's what we're trying to do on Amazon. Yeah.
Awesome. And to be honest, that's something you even see in the supermarket. That happens a lot with big brands. In the pharmaceutical space, you see Coca-Cola. They have so many sub brands under the Coca-Cola. They own the space and you think you're buying another brand, but it's always Coca-Cola. So, same thing. Exactly. Same thing.
Exactly.
Now, right, let's go to the third one.
We have two of the three here. So we're going to test, find a winner. Then we're going to scale up the winner through cloning. And now this is the one that most sellers miss, which is once I have all these sales coming in, like I'm doing $300,000 a month of pillow sales, but I have all these customers that are buying my products and they'd love to buy more, but most sellers completely forget that they have a customer.
They do nothing.
They do nothing. So we follow up with all those customers extremely aggressively to add more value. And so in that pillow business, just to drive home the example, we had hundreds and hundreds of customers that bought more than 20 bed pillows from us. Why did they do that? No. It's because we gave them a very good reason when they opened up their packaging to opt in to one of our funnels to receive more value. A lot of times it would be like instructions or how do you get the best night's sleep ever? Or here is a value stack of a bunch of different things. Like you can get first in line access to our future launches. You can get discounts, right? So we give them very compelling reason to take action, not just register your warranty, which would get about a 2% opt-in rate. We had 88% of our customers opting in, and then we would give them a very good reason to buy more. So hundreds and hundreds of our customers bought the exact same product more than 20 times. And if you look at what that does to your profitability, I'm not paying for any PPC. I'm not paying for anything. When I send an email, it's virtually free. So the most profitable businesses on earth, Vincenzo, make the majority of their sales from repeat customers. Like think about Apple. Like they just sell me the next iPhone. Or think about Walmart. Like I'm going in there every day or every week or whatever it is. You know, like these companies are serving the same customers over and over again. But for some reason, Amazon sellers think, oh, I made a sale. Let's go find a brand new customer, which is the most expensive way to do business. And that's why adding in post-purchase marketing, which is the marketing that happens after the first purchase, is the most profitable things most sellers can do. So you need all of these three pieces. You need to be able to find winning products. You need to scale them through cloning. And then you need to follow up with all those customers. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. I think lifetime value, especially in 2024, I think it's going to be a must. I think the days of only focusing on NACOS, TACOS, ROAS are coming kind of to an end because, I feel Amazon sellers, I don't know why they have this chip that it's all about making profit on that singularity in terms of that only touch they have with your brand and that's it. And they don't focus about all the upsells, the experience, as you mentioned, the journey about how they go from one product to another and you improve their lifestyle and they become loyal to you. They talk to their friends, they talk to their family. Like so many brands on Amazon are dropping the ball there. But at least, we have companies like yours that make sure they actually can implement the right strategy so they can leverage it. Yes, it's a must, 100%.
Yeah, exactly. So, if you think about like your business, Vincenzo, if you sold every customer one time, okay, great. Like your ACOS might be 50%. So your profit margin is only 15%. But what happens if you sold just one unit to every single one of your customers, just one extra unit that you didn't have to pay PPC cost on? What happens to your profitability? And for most sellers, that means that your profit goes up about 400%. That's a massive swing. Now, fast forward, like what we did and say, okay, well, what if over the next year I could sell them 20 more items, right? And that drastically swings it into your favor. So to get post-purchase marketing right, you have to realize what you can do and what you can't do because most people will say, well, following up with my customers is against terms of service.
Yeah, it's totally the same thing. They say the same and they close their mind. Things. That's it. And they didn't do anything. It's like crazy.
They don't do anything. Well, if you look at all the big brands are in service of their customers. And if you look at Amazon's TOS, there's nothing about serving your customer and providing support. So you have to approach it from a support angle. So if you buy those Nike shoes, inside the box, it says, download the Nike Free Run app. Okay, great.
It's an experience.
It's an experience for the customer to support the product. I bought a trampoline on Amazon. I had a digital app that showed me how to put the thing together. I could not have put the thing together without the app. If you buy an appliance, there's always a warranty registration card to protect that purchase. Amazon doesn't even want the customer coming back to them to get warranty service issues, right? They want you to support your product. So that's what we have to do. So you have to think about, what could I include in my product that would be so valuable that my customer would drop everything that they're doing and choose to interact with me? And so for every product, that's going to be different. For our pillow, the pillow was packaged in such a way that it looked like it was going to explode. It was vacuum sealed. It was really tightly packaged.
Okay, interesting.
So we had the sticker on there that said, stop, do not open this pillow before you see these very important instructions, right? It's going to blow up in their face. So 88% of those customers came and opted in. That wouldn't work for a pizza cutter, right? So you have to provide value that is in line with what the customer would want in that moment. So you should be getting at least 20% of your customers to opt in. If you're not, then you're not thinking about it enough to really find that hook that grabs their attention. So then you ask yourself, okay, well, if I sold 100,000 units this year, you should be able to put 20,000 of those on your list. And you can use that list for launching products. You can use that list for ranking your products during a lightning deal. You can use that list for creating repeat orders. You can use that list for surveying your customers about what product you should launch next. Like, having the customer list is like a huge unlock, but most sellers will just skip it because they just turn their brains off.
I know. I 100% agree, because it's so funny. Every single time I do audits for brands or whatever, like I'm talking 7-8-figure brands here, people that they should know their game. They are doing nothing. They don't have any inserts. They don't have a post-purchase experience. It's crazy. And I think something I would like to bring to the table so we can start concluding is, like, from your experience, what are some of those experiences that are working the most when it comes to converting? Because as you say, warranty is one of the lowest. People don't really care about warranty nowadays. But I know this is also going to be category specific, 100%. But from your experience, like, what is working the most? Like a digital asset, an access to an exclusive community, discounts. What are some of those things that you see incentivizing people to take action from your experience?
Well, most sellers that we see get about a 1% opt-in rate. And what they have is they have a warranty registration, or they have a discount on the next purchase. Like, imagine this, Vincento. Like, what if you get a product in the mail from Amazon, you open up the box and it says, hey, get 10% off your next purchase. You don't care about that right now. You're just going to throw that in the trash. Like, 1% of customers will come and opt in if you do that. Like, that's terrible. So what you want to do is you want to think about, what would my customer find extremely valuable in the moment? And if you can't think of one thing that would blow their minds, give them several. And we call this a value stack. And so it would be like this. It would be like, okay, just for coming to this URL right now, you're going to get first in line access to all of our future product launches. And then we're going to assign a value to it, a value of $15. Okay, great. A 2-year product replacement warranty, a value of $25. Okay, great. We're going to give you exclusive discounts, a value of $15. Okay, great. We're going to keep stacking in things until we get great value stack. Okay. So we're going to get, you know, there could be a value of $100 or $200, depending on what you have. And now that's way more compelling. Or like something unique. Like, we have a scratch off lottery ticket. It looks just like a real lottery ticket. You scratch it off and it gives you a code that you're going to come and redeem and see how much you won. And they get like that big value stack of bonuses for opting in and checking their code, right? So it's just a really unique way to interact with the customer. But that's what we do every day. If you want us to take a look at your product and brainstorm, we'd love to do it, Vincenzo.
Yeah, of course. So I guess now, after, you know, going over all these 3 points, people might be wondering, you know, how do I work with Seth and their amazing team? So tell us a little bit about how is the whole process of working with you guys, like how people can reach out, what are some of the things you usually do for them and all of them.
So I guess the best thing to do is once every 6 months or so, we have a big hackathon. Essentially, we share a bunch of different seller strategies, just like you know what we're doing now. We share them in a webinar format, and it's just like rapid fire. Like every 3 minutes, you get a new hack. So we have one of those coming up, and we have a community called Seller Underground. So if you go to sellerunderground.com/hacks, we're going to give you the access to the prior hack session, which is not public. Okay. We always remove them. There are more than 20 seller hacks that you won't see elsewhere. And you're going to get access to that because we really appreciate you having us on. And then what we'll do is we'll automatically invite you to the next one, which we have coming up. And then you can get involved with that. And it's all free. The only downside is that we don't leave the replays up forever. We leave them up for about a week and then we remove them. So this is a really cool way to share the abundance with your audience.
Thank you, Seth. So it's a pleasure. I'm going to make sure to put, guys, the links in the description for all of you on the audio format. So make sure you go back to the notes. And in the meantime, Seth, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for sharing all the wisdom. So like, I feel all the things that we mentioned today, unfortunately, are things that sellers are not doing. So I invite you guys, like, please take action. And if you don't want to take action, that's why people like Seth and their company exist. So make sure you reach out and they can do it for you. So pleasure and see you in the next one, man. Yeah? Thank you for coming.
I appreciate you.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.